Hi, and welcome to the WOM Report, where WOM stands for Word of Mouth. Our goal is to unearth strategies and best practices to help you grow your business by hearing from the mouths of industry leaders and successful network marketers. On today's show, we will hear from the man responsible for the blog titled Stop the Amway Tool Scam. Texas blogger Scott Johnson details his ongoing battle in and out of the courtroom. Thanks so much, Scott, for being with us.
Thanks, Dan. Well, I live in Plano, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. Well, actually, I'm from Florida originally. I just got to Texas as fast as I could, as they say here. I just had an anniversary this year where I lived in Texas longer than half of my lifetime, so we're hoping that the naturalization papers come through pretty soon.
Well, great. Scott, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your blog?
Yeah, I just picked the name of the blog, stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com, so you could read one line and understand what the oomph behind the site is. I was a 16-year Amway person, I think I've got a really accurate perspective of how the business actually operates as opposed to how it is advertised.
Well, Scott, what are some of the issues that you see out there today?
There are really two major problems. The first problem is the lack of retail sales to external customers, and that makes Amway an illegal pyramid. And the second problem, which is really the much larger problem, and that's why I picked that as the name of my website, my blog, that is that 10 times or more money is made by the upline selling tools to their downline. And tools are things like meetings and books and CDs and voicemail and websites, whatever they can sell and make a buck. But then they turn around and pretend that all of their lifestyle, all of their so-called success came from Amway. And they're not very eager to say that, oh, gee, I make most of my money from tools, not from Amway at all.
So, Scott, how does this work, a traditional retail experience versus an MLM?
I don't know of any particular numbers for any particular products, but the thumb rule is that the manufacturer, which would be the product company, would make probably on the average 20 to 30% of whatever the retail price is in the store. And then the other 70, 80% of that price includes all of the steps along the way from the manufacturer to warehousing, to distribution, to, putting the product on the shelf, advertising, and all the overhead that's associated. All the people that drive trucks or,
right,
or man the stores or healthcare.
The cost of doing business in general.
Exactly. All of those overhead costs are the other probably at least, 70, 80% of the actual price you pay in a store.
Right. And then conversely, is there sort of those numbers for the MLM folks, or it's just in general, you're saying it's far less or medium less or way less? Or?
Well, I think in MLM, it's generally similar numbers. Obviously, if you have a lower production quantity, cost per item is probably more expensive to manufacture. But the rule of three, as it applies to Amway and probably a lot of other MLMs, and actually there's probably a rule of four, but let me cover that real quick. The rule of three is about one third of the price the distributor pays is the cost to make it. The other third is for the MLM, and the other third is the bonus that's paid out, amongst the multi-level of distributors, up and down the chain. Now, the MLMs try to say there's really a rule of four. You've also got the retail markup, but in my experience, the distributor cost is already more expensive than what you'll find in the store. And so, to me, the retail price is rather meaningless. It's just a number out there that doesn't really get applied in the marketplace.
Scott, do tell us what success did you have with Amway on any level?
Yeah, I can't ever say I was really happy. I never made any money. I lost money. But the real tipping point came in 2005 when our Upline Diamond, a couple by the name of Bruce and Wendy Anderson, were kicked out of Amazon. And he started his own blog, and the questions were being asked about how much money he was making in Amway, because he made a statement he made an average of $350,000 over the past, I think it was 5 years on average, you know, per year. And the question was asked, well, how much of that was Amway and how much was tools? And he just kind of beat around the bush, and finally I got on his blog and I said, hey, Bruce, you're not an Amway diamond anymore. Why don't you just answer the question straight up? If you Google Bruce Anderson Amway and the word Amquix, A-M-Q-U-I-X,
okay,
that particular website has a lot of information. Like I say, it's a really long story. But bottom line, you know, what tipped it for me was when I found out from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that he made a lot more tools that were being promoted than from Amway, which is what was being promoted as a source of profit.
Historically, Scott, how have proceeds from tools been dealt with by these types of companies?
Well, I can take you back all the way to 1983 when Rich DeVos, who was one of the two Amway founders, made a recording. Actually, I think it was a series of recordings. But again, if you Google Rich DeVos and the words directly speaking, and you can throw Amquix in there too, because it's just a good site for old stuff, not so much recent stuff. Rich DeVos explaining that he thinks that, or his lawyers think that the upline shouldn't make more than 10% from tools compared to their Amway profit. And they had some discussions with their lawyers, and they actually bumped it up to 20%. But I'm here to tell you, it's at least, you know, in order of magnitude or more, you know, 200% to 1,000%. And there's various stories about what happened after that. Either there was a threat of a boycott or an actual boycott of Amway products, or a threat of going to a different MLM. But the bottom line is, whatever did happen, Amway didn't take the action that they said they would take. You know, Rich DeVos said he would take whatever action necessary to enforce that, and he never did. Amway never did. And when I spoke to some Amway people, in fact, it was the Amway rule supervisor and her manager a few years ago. This is probably 2008, early 2008 timeframe. I asked them, do you guys know all about what's being charged for these tools? And they gave me a one-word, two-letter answer. Now, I'll let you guess. If you've been following the Herbalife saga over the past two-plus years, early last year, Herbalife banned their distributors from doing what was called lead generation deals. This is where the upline would sell names of potential prospects to their downline for $130 per name. And that person may or may not pick up the phone when they call them. And so Herbalife put a stop to that. There's also a June 2nd, 2014 letter that Herbalife put out saying that you can't make any money from any tools, you know, the meetings and the CDs and the books and et cetera, that I mentioned earlier. So that's a watershed moment in the industry because Herbalife is huge, and now Amway's hanging out there on their own with this big tool scam and publicly saying it's not a problem.
Well, getting back to the tools, Scott, how much are reps compelled to purchase these tools?
Yes, technically the tools are optional, but the very common thing that I heard many, many times and many other people have heard it is the tools are optional, but so is success. That's what you hear from the upline.
Right.
You know, so it's not hard to read between the lines saying, yeah, it's optional, but guess what? You're going to fail without them. That's the message. But technically they are optional. It really, you know, if you equate the tools to, you know, let's say a university, if you go to your professor and say, hey, I need some help, and he says, well, why don't you break out the textbook and we'll go through it. You go, well, I really don't want to buy the textbook. I just want you to help me. You can see how buying the tools is kind of admitting that you're not trying. And why would someone want to help you if you're not even willing to buy the tools versus someone else who is buying the tools and is getting something from them? And so practice, if you don't buy the tools, you don't get help. I learned that because right after Bruce Anderson, admitted he made most of his money from the tools, I turned around and I canceled my standing order. You can have a standing order with your upline tools where they just told every week. You know, got you having to ask for them every week. So I stopped that, and I went from best buddy of my upline to never hearing from them ever again, not a single time. And they would often, you know, invite us to, get together, whether it would be social or coming down to Houston to see a new wrinkle on the marketing plan, any number of different reasons to get together. It just went totally silent.
Well, how about listing off some of the names of these tools, Scott, for our listeners to hear?
Yeah, the tools are a conglomerate of anything that the upline sells to you that's not an Amway product, essentially. And it includes things like there's either a weekly or a monthly open meeting where there's a marketing plan that is shown in hotel atmosphere. That's normally $5 per person. There's a monthly seminar, which is about $25 per person. There's about three or four different meetings per year that are called major functions, and those are $125 to $150 per person, plus all the travel costs.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to fly or drive or whatever, you have to eat, you have to have a hotel. And all those things, by the way, I consider legitimate overhead. I wouldn't expect someone to pay my hotel. going somewhere. However, I would expect them to tell me the truth about how much money they're making from the tools. There's also books, and it's really easy to check with a Barnes & Noble or somebody. Excuse me. Got a fly on my shirt. You can call Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore, and when you buy books by the case like these guys do, you can buy books for about a quarter to a third of the price of each individual book when you buy in quantity. And, of course, the books are sold at full retail. Yeah, they just retail everything. They just go with full retail price on the seat. These are typically anywhere from $7 to $10 each. There's a guy online who is not in an MLM, but he's kind of a supporter of MLM. He offers to make people CDs, and if you buy a quantity of CDs, like 500 or 1,000, they'll sell them to you for 88 cents each. They'll also sell you voicemail. $25 a month and up, depending on what package you buy. They'll also sell you access to their website, which, interestingly enough, is where you go to buy the tools.
Yeah.
So you can not only pay for the tools, but you can also pay for the website. And so what some of the upline did is say, well, we only charge $2 or $3 per CD, so look how great we are. The problem is they charge like $50 a month for the website access to buy the tool, whereas the people that sell them for $7 to $10 each only charge maybe $10 a month. So when you work out the math and you start saying, well, the average person buys, 6 or 8 or 10 CDs per month, it pretty much comes out even. So they're just, working the numbers around to make it look better, but it's all about the same.
Well, Scott, with regards to numbers, why can't some of these reps state how much money they make?
Well, I think Amway's reluctant to do that because then once you disclose that, everybody leaves and the whole Amway business collapses. They have to keep the lot going. If they say, gee, don't expect to make a profit until you're platinum, and by the way, you're applying emeralds and above and making 2 to 10 times more from the tools than they are from Amway, the next meeting would be empty. In fact, Amway has a new rule saying that you cannot show any lifestyle that came from outside of the Amway product profit source. Now that's supposed to be more fair and less deceptive. I'll let the listener decide. For me, it's not. If you're not willing to disclose the big pieces of where you make your profit. And I agree with you. I don't think you have to be granular on it, but you should be able to say, look, the typical Emerald makes 2 times more from tools than from Amway. The typical Diamond makes 6 times. The really high flyers make 10 times. That would be, fair and deceptive. And those are, by the way, the rules that the FTC uses to shut down scams. Is if there's a unfair and deceptive business practice, which I believe this is, it's against the law. And that's part of what Herbalife is in a lot of trouble for right now. They've got 4 different federal agencies and 2 state attorney generals investigating them as we speak. That's the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Security Exchange Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission, and the attorney generals from Illinois and New York. And that's just the ones that have announced. There could be some other attorneys general that are investigating these that haven't announced it yet.
Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about the heat that you take for your opinions? What kind of trials and tribulations do you go through?
Well, I've probably been called every name in the book. Probably the situation I've had to deal with is I was sued by Amway in 2010 because I was sending out emails to people that were cheating on Craigslist by advertising on Craigslist, which is against the Amway's rules. And they said that that's a violation of contractual rights. And so, $25,000 to $30,000 later, we settled at court, didn't go to trial, because it became obvious after the lawsuit was open for a year and a half that Amway was not interested in going to trial. They were interested in draining my funds. And so between that and the fact that my lawyer told me that even if I win the court case, Amway can walk right back into court and file a brand new lawsuit against me, because the concept of double jeopardy applies only to criminal cases, not civil. And so it would be literally a never-ending legal and therefore financial battle. And since Amway is about a $12 billion a year company, they can stretch it out a little bit further than I can. And so we settled out of court. I gave up some minor concessions, and this was put it on my blog. The entire settlement is on my blog, as well as a description of what I was willing to give up, which, again, were very minor things. It was just a trade-off between making the lawsuit, the potential chain of lawsuits go away, because Amway can't sue me now. If I stay coloring inside the lines, and obviously I can't do anything clearly illegal, I can't go out and kidnap an Amway employee or something like that, even though that's not covered in the settlement. But as long as I do what the settlement says I can do, and I don't do the things that it says I cannot do, they can't touch me. If they bring up court again, we put an agreement in front of the judge and say, hey, judge, it doesn't violate this, so tell them to go away.
So at this point, Scott, what's a day in the life look like for you?
Yeah, I've got a day job, but I also spend an hour or two a day doing any notes, visiting other blogs and making comments. I'm really trying to get some of the people that are against MLM more organized, because we're kind of scattered around and everyone's got their own little ideas and nobody really wants to have a cohesive unit, so to go up against these scams. And I think we could really stop things if we did get together. And so it's unfortunate, but there's egos out there and there's agendas out there. And unfortunately, that hasn't really come to fruition, but that's something that I'm still working at. I'm also working at, getting the attention of government officials and the media on a constant basis. Just trying to get attention towards this. Bill Ackman was very successful getting attention to Herbalife, but that's because he's an activist investor, and he took a $1 billion, I think a $1.2 billion short on Herbalife, and he spent I think, $20 million over the past couple of years in his campaign against Herbalife. So obviously he has a little bit bigger voice than I do. I'm doing everything I possibly can within the settlement agreement to bring attention to this. And I'm willing to work with anybody that's able to just use some common sense and not get on, the two big tangents I can think of off the top of my head is it's a cult. And the problem with that is it probably is not a cult. And even if it was, cults are legal. You know, there's being a little bit about a cult. So what are you going to accomplish if you get something labeled a cult? You can't sue anybody for being a cult. I think that makes you look kind of weird by saying you're not the cult. And the other big thing that goes around is there's this theory of an endless chain. Some of the so-called experts in this industry have this theory of an endless chain. And the way that works is, gee, if you had one person that sponsored two and then they sponsored two, you know, within just a few years, the entire planet is going to be sponsored. And so the guy at the end of the chain doesn't have any opportunity. Well, that's a great theory. The problem is it doesn't work in practice. AMWA's been around for 55 years. And if you just sponsored one person in AMWA or any other MLM, just one year, and then everyone that got in sponsored one year, you know, not one a month or one a week, but one person every year, within about, I think it's 32 years, the entire planet would be sponsored. So obviously that's the big factor. The big factor is people get in, they recognize they can't sell anything because it's overpriced, they lose money on these tools, they go broke and they drop out. And then the whole process starts over again. So if you want to consider it an endless, however, constant breaking chain, I can go with that. But it's not an endless chain. These companies have been around, like Herbalife and Amway, for decades. And there's no end in sight unless we bring more attention to how they're operating. But, you know, the endless chain gang, they've done a lot of court expert testimony, and if they were to change their mind over that flawed theory, then all of a sudden they wouldn't be an expert anymore, and they wouldn't be paid to talk in courtrooms anymore. And so they have their own agenda. They want to sell their books. They want to testify in court, and the courts have rejected the theory. If you go to a company called Geromar, it's GERROMAR. There was a lawsuit. This is like 1975. The FTC went into court that endless chain business, and the judge summarily not only rejected the theory, but he mocked them and he made fun of them and poked fun of them in his decision. And if you read his decision, he not only rejected the theory, but he's fun of the concept of it because it just didn't work out in reality. You know,
right.
There's not saturation. You don't get to that point because people leave way before that ever occurs.
Scott, are there any companies out there that you would recommend folks join?
Now the only two that I think are doing things right that I've come across, and I'm not supporting these two companies. But everything I've seen without doing extensive research is that they do have a lot of retail, and they also do not have tool scams as far as I know. And those two are Tupperware and Pampered Chef. And both of those products I've looked at, I think they're overpriced. I wouldn't buy them. But if they can go out in retail and they can get people to buy them, I'm perfectly okay with it. I'm a free enterprising kind of guy. I'm not in any way, of social background or bent. So if you sell an overpriced product to somebody, or what I consider overpriced, go for it. You're perfectly legal in doing that. But interestingly enough, too, those two companies sell products that are permanent, if you understand. In other words, if you buy upper works there, it's probably going to last your lifetime. If you buy some pots and pans, it's probably going to last your lifetime. Whereas with all the, quote-unquote lotion and potion MLMs, the vitamins, the skincare, and the makeup and all that stuff, it's constantly being replenished. And so it makes a little sense to have a lot of internal consumption of that and very little retailing to external customers and keep it going. Whereas how many sets of pots and pans can you buy for a period of time? You can't. You buy them once and you're done. And so both of those companies have party plans, which is probably another important ingredient, where you invite friends and family over to your house for demonstrations and so forth. It's probably a good indication of a better outcome. But those are the only two that come to my mind that and again, I haven't done extensive research into them, but they do appear to be, legitimate from what I can tell. I know there is a website out there called Pink Truth that talks about Mary Kay in some not very good terms. And I don't know, how recent this information is. Maybe they made some changes, but and I'm not sure about it, how Avon handles this. But in Mary Kay, apparently there's a lot of pressure to buy a large inventory and then try to sell that. You spend a lot of money so that you have sort of the motivation to go out and sell. But I don't know what their retail levels are. I couldn't even, I think they're probably higher than Herbalife and Amway, but I don't know the numbers. I would probably put those two somewhere in the middle without knowing, all the details.
So, Scott, just a little recap. What are the big points you want to hit with our listeners today?
Well, I would go right back to my original points at the beginning of this conversation. I would make sure that they get a straight answer on what's your retail sales level, because that shows whether the products are competitively priced or not. And then I would also ask them, how much money do you make on the tools? And if you don't get straight answers on those, don't walk away. Run.
With that, Scott Johnson, we really, really appreciate your time today. This has been a phenomenal chat with you. Thanks again for all the info. We might visit you again for a series, as you mentioned.
Well, I'll put that, Jamie, and just to give you a real quick reason why I am doing this is I did lose over $100,000 over the course of 4 years of anyway. Importantly, I missed a lot of time raising my two boys. And my mission is that other people don't have to, number one, lose the money, but number two, more importantly, I believe, in my opinion, from my perspective, is don't lose the time. Don't lose the time, trying to get involved in a scam and end up losing. Learn from my experience and help me shut these scams down so that other people also don't get ripped off, both in money and time.
That wraps up another edition of the WOM Report, where WOM stands for Word of Mouth. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for the WOM Report, or online at thewomreport.com.